Welcome. Welcome to Conagree Hall in Timsbury, and you're amazing. You remember to come here. Did anybody go to Bradstock? They won't be here yet, will they? So, well, no. Anyway, it is lovely to see you, everybody here. And if this is your first time, a special welcome. But it's just great to see everybody here today. We've got a load on this morning, and just as we were praying earlier, I was thinking, crikey, we got this, we got whatever. And yet I just felt that we need to say that above all, may God just come in today. May everybody just know his presence with us, so that even if things go wrong, that doesn't matter. May we just know God's presence with us during these difficult times. So I'm just going to share a reading with you and pray. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time praying for the situation in Ukraine. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolations he has brought on the earth, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's just pray. Father, we just come as your people. We come in the knowledge that you are with us, and we praise you for that. And we just pray that in our time together we may know your presence, may know your love, we may know your reassurance through difficult times. As we may come with all sorts of scrambled thoughts, may we just know that you are the constant, that you are with us, that you love us, that you have provided for us, that you will continue to provide. And I just pray that each person here may know that. That we may walk out not with a solution to all the things that are going on, but with the knowledge that you are the solution, that you are the ever-present, and that your love for us is just so immeasurable. And I praise you for that, and I just pray that as we come together, we may praise you as your people. I just ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Before I forget, if you are here for the first time or new to Welton, we do have a pack, which please do come up and take, and it'd be lovely to speak to you. And also, Scott has brought in some books, which he had from the marriage course, which are on the table as you go out, and they are free to take. So please do have a look and take one, if you'd like. So we come at a time when the situation in Ukraine is incredibly serious and concerning. And it's right that we pray. And before I forget, at 6:30 tonight, for all those who would like to come at the chapel, we will be meeting and praying specifically for that situation. But I just thought as we started, it would be right just to take a minute, just in silence, to pray individually. For the situation in Ukraine. And last night I found a prayer that Pete Gregg has written, which I will read, and there are bits in between for us as a congregation to join, so that will be good to be involved in that. So if we can just start with a minute, and if we can bring the prayer up, and there are sections which I will read, and then it has Lord have mercy, Lamb of God. So if we can share those bits, there's about four sections, that will be really, really good. So Let's just spend a minute in silent prayer, and then I'll start reading the prayer for us. Let's pray. Father God, King of all nations, we cry out to you now for the people of Ukraine. We ask you to rescue those who are vulnerable from the hands of their enemies, that they may live without fear before you all their days. Lord of mercy, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Lord of lords and Prince of Peace, our politicians are predicting the biggest war in Europe since 1945, and we simply cry out to you urgently to write another story in our time, thwart the dark machinations of evil men. Give wisdom beyond human wisdom to peacemakers seeking an equitable and less violent way. May politicians exercise the wisdom from above, which is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Holy Spirit, we pray for the church in Ukraine, a nation in which 70% of the population call themselves Christian. Give our many brothers and sisters in that nation courage in the crisis, that they may proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Bind up broken hearts and bring comfort to all who mourn. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. You, Lord, make wars cease to the ends of the earth. You break bows, shatter spears, and burn shields with fire. And so we ask you now to save the lives of many people in Ukraine. Make a peace that is strong and not weak. De-escalate this crisis. We hear of wars and rumours of wars. You, Lord, are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Our hope is in you. And so we address the nations now in the name of Jesus. We say, be still and know God. He is exalted among the nations. He shall be exalted in the earth. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Amen.
Good. God is good. God is good. Okay, and there's some good things happening. Where's Ojan? Ojan's going to come and share with us a little bit about parkrun and Welton Runners. And oh, he looks like he's stripping off, and he's going to actually, not right off, he's, don't panic, he's going to come to the front. Good stuff. Yeah, is that all right? You okay with that? I'll dodge out of the way of this. And we've got some photos, and it's kind of just to get us thinking. You might know that the church has got a running group, and it's not just a church running group. There's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot of vision behind what we're doing. So, Ojan, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it was in about 2018, I think, when Ken Benjamin came and he spoke at the chapel over about doing church in a different way. And it was more about getting out there in the community and reaching people that you could probably otherwise not reach, and do activities that you maybe not normally do in church either. So we came up with this idea of having possibly a parkrun in the town and having a running club. And we found out there's lots of other churches that are already doing this. So that's how it basically started, just trying to do church outside the building and reaching people in activities that you can connect with. And that's how we sort of came up with this.
Yeah, and we love this idea of we're still really keen on this idea. What would it look like for one Sunday a month to a kind of a third of the church not to be here because they're out doing church somewhere else? So that sounds a bit counterintuitive sometimes, maybe makes us feel a bit insecure, but we love that thought that what would it look like if Welton Runners actually became a church in itself where people were loving Jesus through that community. So that's kind of where we're pushing for. And have you got some photos for us, I think, Ojan?
Yeah, just to go back a little bit. to see what we've already done. So in 2018, it was, we were running with Phil. This was not Phil in physical form. This was Philippians, of course, that we were referring to, 3:14. And we had Paul Myers on a bicycle. I'm not quite sure how that related to running, but we did. And 2020, we did the appeal, and we had several people running that. And although it was lockdown, we were all together separately doing this, and that was really good. Then we started creating the park run course in the park, and we had lots of volunteers from the church going out there and doing stuff. So there's Pete and Sally and others, and it was really good because we were actually connecting with other people that were volunteering from other walks of life. So some were coming from Bristol, some were coming from town, and a lot of people from the local running clubs. And then in 2021, we had our own and first run in the park. So that was the first activity actually in the park where we used part of the new course. And I guess that's where we sort of come to where we are now.
Just to jump in there, some of you will know all about the town park, some of you might not know what it is, but actually it's something the town council have been working on and working with lots of volunteer groups, and it's been so good for us as a church to get involved. We've met at the amphitheatre there, we're going to be meeting there again this summer, all being well, and it's just been so good, I think, for the community, for us to be involved in building this track and ideally bringing parkrun. Who's heard of parkrun? Stick your hand up, you heard it. Don't just stick your hand up. If you heard it, okay, that's a good number of us. It's international, isn't it? It's around the world, parkrun, a big old thing, and so popular, and we're excited about getting involved with that. So what's next, Ojan?
So we finally got our course approved in the park. And
can we have a bit more of a woo than that? Yeah. That is a woo! Yeah. Well done, Sean. That's Sean's leading the way there. Good one.
It was almost like being 40 years in the desert sort of effort to try and get there. But we've got a core team that we've got in place and that are sort of kind of trained. We've got a bit more to do on that. There's several people from within this church that are part of that. We've got the permissions from the council, so we had to jump through a few hoops for that, from Baines Council as well as Midsummer Norton Town Council. We've got quite a nice list of volunteers, but we'll come back to that. And we're now just waiting for a start date, so hopefully after this week we will have that and we can come back to you with some more exciting things.
Okay, so when are we thinking? Are you allowed to give any start date away, or are we going to wait till we've got a definite?
Well, we're sort of hoping around Easter time. They said it was going to be 6 to 8 weeks, but we're not sure when that started, or that's already started, or whether we still, once we get the final approval from Parkrun Hierarchy, whether that will still be another 6 to 8 weeks. So we don't know. But I mean, the vision for that really is that we would be able to connect with people every Saturday morning. So it'd be free activity for everybody. But we do need quite a sort of list of volunteers. So we're interested in people that will come on the rota, whether it's once a month, once in 2 months, it doesn't really matter. It's just helping out. And there's jobs that can be done by anybody. It does not just have to be a runner or a very active person. It can be anyone that wants to be involved with that.
Good stuff. And just to say, if you like eating cake as well, more than you do running, there's a whole bunch of people who, after the run, go down to a cafe, Jacaranda's, and have a coffee and a cake. Where's Holly? Holly's good at leading this part of it. And yeah, well done, Holly. There's a whole bunch of people, and we've got this vision. Remember, the vision behind all of this isn't just around running, which is brilliant in itself, getting people fit and healthy, but around how do you share the love of God with people? And it's been so good to hear about this little group going down for a coffee and cake afterwards and connecting with people in our community. All right.
There's two specific things that we would like some prayer for as well. Is that apart from being a volunteer, which we obviously going to be needing on an ongoing basis, we have a vision of using the Soma Center as a bit of a base for people to go afterwards. We as sort of our team can't run that ourselves, but if anyone feels that they could get involved with that, the church has sort of got a vision that we'll try it for maybe 3 or 4 weeks, open the Soma Center on Saturday morning, and maybe somebody provides coffee or tea, or it's just maybe a point for people to get together, leave their bags. And so we haven't quite fleshed that one out, but we really need somebody that maybe wants to get involved with that. And then on an ongoing basis, we could do maybe once a month. And then we're also still looking for a volunteer that can do the coordination of the volunteers, if that makes sense. But it's not an active-based role as that you have to be there every Saturday morning, but it's more during the week, answering emails and getting people on the list and then passing that list on to the person that is the run director for the Saturday morning. So it's a it's a bit of admin during the week that we would like some help with, if anyone feels that they'd be willing to do that.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ojan. Well done, mate. And who loves doing admin? You don't have to put your hand up for that one. There are some people who love doing admin. Claire Green is definitely one of them. Sally's another one. They're just amazing at kind of getting on and doing stuff, which is my worst nightmare. But it's a proper gift from God. So if you're thinking, actually, I could do a bit of admin easily, then do get in touch with Ojan. And let's keep in mind that vision and things we'll be doing as this gets started. All right.
My name's Dave Kingswood. I look after the Invest program, which some of you may have heard of. For those of you who haven't heard of it, Invest came about a few years back now because Baptist ministers in the West of England were recognizing that there were loads of leaders that were in our churches who weren't really getting developed, but also they were never going to pack in their entire lives and go to Bible college. So what did it mean to have something in between? And so the idea of Invest came about. Now, the premise of it is that everyone who joins the Invest program is looking to develop their leadership, their mission, and their Christian character. And they do that by giving the equivalent of a day a week to a particular pathway plan, which is engineered just for them, is just set out just for them, that they follow throughout the year. They meet with a mentor regularly. There's various training that's given throughout the year, again, which is tailored to everyone's individual needs. And so we see incredible things happen through the investors. We're in our fourth year now. Now, what we're going to be doing next is we're going to be hearing from some of our investors, and Mike is going to be interviewing three out of the four people that are on the Invest course this year from Welton. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, we are so blessed, the church, to be involved in the Invest scheme. And I was thinking that those who've already gone through the scheme and how they've just grown in their walk with God and in the way they serve God. So can I ask the three that are here today, which is Karen and Caroline, if you can come up, and Hattie, you're all hiding today. If you'd like to come up, what we're going to do is I'm just going to ask them the same question, and then we're going to split into groups, just pray for a couple of minutes for these people and just see whether we can hear what God is saying for them, and just if we feel God is particularly saying something for these people, what God is saying for them in the year ahead. As Dave said, we're one down, so Chris isn't here, but I'm going to just get one of the groups to pray for him as well. So, welcome, investor. Why are you gone so far away? Caroline.
Morning.
How are you?
Nervous.
Yeah, good. Okay. Good. Okay, so I'm going to ask you the same question.
Okay.
What are you hoping to see God do in you and through you this year?
I'm really passionate about sharing Jesus with people that don't know him yet. And I really feel that God's calling me towards people that are really broken and hurting, particularly homeless people and prisoners. So this is big and scary for me, so I really want God to challenge me, and I want to go to places where I have to rely on him, things I've never done before. I've spoke before about I just went to start as a volunteer at Julian House to cook for the homeless, and that is a big step for me. I've never stepped foot into a homeless hostel before, so I'm utterly reliant on God, and I just pray, and I'd love to have people praying for me that I get opportunities to share my faith and my love for Jesus with people there.
That is fantastic. That's thank you. And when we just see you grow every day in your walk with Jesus, and I'm sure he'll bless you in that. Thank you. So when we start, if you go over to that group over there, and then we'll get them to pray for you. But Hattie,
okay.
Same question. What are you hoping to see God do in you and through you in the next year?
Yeah, so for me, my Invest year, I kind of am looking at what is it that God has made me kind of like uniquely passionate about, I guess, and what does he want me to do with the gifts that he's given me? Are there any gifts that are yet to kind of be revealed? That sort of thing. And so that's kind of channeled into my year. I'm kind of interning at Welton this year, looking at kind of what church leadership looks like. And so, yeah, kind of constantly reviewing stuff, how it's going, where it can be improved and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And again, we're just seeing you growing in the last few months as you come back amongst us, and it'll be exciting to hear. I was just thinking, Dave, where's Dave gone? Disappeared. He's left the room. It'll be good to come back over the next few months and just hear what's happening in that progress. And last but not least, Karen.
Hello, dear.
Hello, love. What are you hoping to see God do in you and through you in this year?
It's an interesting year for me because I'm transitioning into retirement. So I'm the mum of the group, if you like. And when talking with Dave and Matt Hebditch about my invest plan, it became very obvious that my life experience is vast. I can do a lot of things in my own strength. But what I really wanted to do this year was to hone my skills on listening to God. What is it that he wants me to do? Not what can I do, what does he want me to do? So that's been a bit of a challenge so far. I'm hoping it'll get better. But one of the other things that I really feel God has laid on my heart is about supporting people living with loss, going through a bereavement journey, really. I mean, we've come out of 2 years where it's been really hard. So I really feel as a church, we're uniquely placed to support people through a bereavement journey. We've got a message of hope that we can give to people. And it's a case of watch this space, really. I'm still figuring out how we're going to do it. And obviously, you know, we need to gain our confidence as individuals and Christians as to how to support people in that. So we shall see. The year's only just started.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I really appreciate your prayer for that.
Yeah. Well, obviously being close to you, I can already see over the last couple of months how you've been challenged in that and have grown. And again, it'll be good to see how God is working through you. So, Hattie, you're not meant to go over there. So, Caroline, if you can get in the midst of this little group here. Hattie, this group here. Caroline, if you can get in the midst of this group. Sorry. Caroline's there. Hattie there. Karen here. Sorry. I need always be corrected, don't I? And this group here, if you can pray for Chris and say he's not here. Literally going to 2 minutes. So just we can just pray, open ourselves to God. And if anyone feels any particular thing they want to share with that person, either do then during that time or afterwards.
Yeah.
So just literally 2 minutes.
Go for it, guys. Don't be too polite. You know, we like a bit of movement. Do get around these people and pray. I know it's going to be harder than that one, but you've only got 2 minutes, like Mike said.
Hi again. So, today we are... I wish my mum listened to all my podcasts, but then there are certain ones that you don't want your mum to listen to. Today is one of those days. Okay, you're not going to know why. It's because we are going to talk about sex as British Christians. I can already see the tension in the room. Quite right. Anyway, see, these aren't subjects that normally we cover in church, but our prayer as a leadership is that as we kind of start to look around, giving ourselves permission to talk about this stuff and examine what healthy lifestyles and relationships look like, then it's always going to take us to a better place, right? To be able to communicate and talk about these things well. And I think one of the issues we have is that we don't actually really know how to talk about sex in helpful ways. And that's a bit of what I want to kind of do today. So let's get down to it, right? Here's where I think we kind of need to start. And I called it this. It's a history of sex, angels, and animals. Now, the scriptures talk about sex in two ways. Firstly, procreation. It says this in Genesis 1, 27, 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers. So, essentially, sex is a mechanism for more people to be created. And in the beginning, God gives a commandment to Adam and Eve to increase in number, right? Secondly, it's about relationship. Immediately after woman is created, the Genesis poem talks about the flow of what happens next in the procreative cycle. It says this in Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and he is united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So sex is a human act, but it also involves God, or at least it is initiated by God. It's something that people do, but it's also a flow of where the human race is going under God.
sex was a part of the plan when he made people. So you could say this maybe. Sex is human and it's divine at the same time. Now, thirdly, God describes where in creation we are made. It says that we are made a little lower than the angels. In Hebrews 2:7, it says this: you are made a little lower than the angels. You crown them with glory and honor. Now, angels, being heavenly beings, they don't have the same physicality as us, but we are different to animals. And in Corinthians 15, it says this: all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh for men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. So animals are the manifestation of this kind of primal urge because they can't control their need to procreate. It's physical, but that's as far as the scriptures kind of let us know about that. So we live in this space between the angels and the animals. So we would recognize that the animal kingdom is primal, but also we kind of have a sense of that too, don't we? After all, aren't we all just animals in the bedroom? Don't answer that. Or do actually we feel like the angels were separate and devoid of these sensations? Well, of course, the answer is actually neither, is it? We actually feel exactly like this. We feel somewhere in between the angels and the animals. So we know that we're not just the sum of our urges, but we are also not without them. So how do we understand sex properly? Well, first, let's see how the scriptures talk about sex elsewhere. Actually, sex appears all the way through the Bible, and God does not seem to have a problem with sexy language. The Proverbs have things like, "Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love." When was the last time you heard that at church? And Song of Solomon says, "Kiss me and kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine." So the Bible seems to be, at some level, at ease about the act of sex and language around sex. In fact, it seems to celebrate it. So that then begs the question, why as Christians do we not feel and talk about this stuff in the same way? Now, I would argue our worldview of sex has changed because it's been eroded by mass media over the years, and we're constantly presented with a permanent new view of sexuality. We're told what good-looking people look like. We're told that we ought to aspire to sexually. We are told that we need to learn from, and we're given resources to fulfill our sexual needs. Sex, at some level, has become an industry, but it has an unbiblical frame of reference. Sex has become fully about the body and not about the spirit. And that affects us all very deeply, and often we don't even know it. We have forgotten that the body and the spirit are not to be separated, as they are intrinsically connected, as we saw back in the way that God spoke about it in Genesis. So here's a couple of examples. In the beginning, it says that Adam and Eve were both naked and were not ashamed. They were completely at ease with their sexuality being part of who they were. After all, they were human. They would have been having sex, and they were with God, but there was no shame. Secondly, the Torah, which is the first few books of the Bible, refers to a root word, and I'm not even going to try and say it. Here's the root word. I've been trying to say it all week, and I've never been able to nail it, so I'm not going to try and do my Hebrew on you. But it does mean to know. It describes sexual union as a knowledge of your partner in mind and body and soul. Essentially, it means to know the whole person, including their heart and their mind. Now, when we look back at the Song of Solomon, at first glance, here is a lover talking to his partner, but actually there is far more going on in there. The book is from a section of the Bible called the Wisdom Literature, and this is love poetry inside this wisdom literature. Many times The lover is referred to in light of a garden. Listen to this. This is in Solomon, Song of Solomon. Dear lover and friends, you are a secret garden, a private and pure fountain, body and soul, you are paradise. A whole orchard of succulent fruits, ripe apricots and peaches, oranges and pears, nut trees and cinnamon and all scented woods. Mint and lavender and all herbs aromatic. A garden fountain splashing and sparkling, fed by spring waters from the Lebanon mountains. Wake up, north wind, get moving, south wind, breathe on my garden, fill the air with spice fragrance. Oh, let my lover enter his garden. Yes, let him eat the fine, ripe fruits. And the beauty of the bride is often expressed in geographic or agricultural terms. Her body is talked about like a rolling landscape, her breasts like spiced mountains, her hair like goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Her neck is like the Tower of David, it says, set with warrior's eyes. She is as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem. Her eyes are Pool in Heshbon. Her nose like the Tower of Lebanon. Her head crowns her like Mount Carmel. This is the love of the king for his country, his people. See, this is human emotion, but it's also divine. In this story, it's an earthly king speaking, but it's also a love poem about how God feels about his people. God is using sexual language to describe his feelings. You know, the physical is an extension of relationship. Sex is meant to be what happens when you want to be even closer to someone, to be more intimate. So sit with that for a second, because I think we do need to take that in. We have thrown, I would argue, the baby out with the bathwater. I would say that our litmus test about sex has become all about physicality and not about God being involved. And as Christians, I think we've let worldly views rob us of the full picture of sexuality as God would have had it. Now, I don't know how that sits with you. I'm sure for some of you, this is a new idea. Maybe others feel uncomfortable. But in light of it, I want to hold up how we feel about sex and then ultimately our relationships against it. Is this whole thing about animals and angels built around trying to trip us up or keep us kind of mentally on this really thin wire? Is sexual purity a measure of how we call ourselves holy, maybe? The more I've wrestled with these questions and thought about it, another question has hung kind of like as an umbrella over this whole thing. Where is the freedom in this? Because let's be frank. For most of us, when we talk about sex, there is an element of shame in it. There is an element of shame in it. And I would say freedom to talk about this stuff is the start of our problems. You know, the British generally don't like talking about sex. There is a reason we don't talk about this stuff. Kind of culturally in Christian circles, we think of this stuff as unnecessary or dirty. And maybe even you've been brought up like that. Maybe that was what you were fed. Talk around sex is for kind of teenage boys, and it's never helpful, right? That's the way it can be framed. But I tell you why this is fascinating to me. I think if I were to say to you that God is in the room when you are making love to your wife or your husband, partner, that is something really unsettling for many of us to kind of hold in our hearts. Or maybe there's a sexuality to the Holy Spirit moving in you as that he whispers words in your ear that you are intimately woven just for you. For many of you, that will make you really uncomfortable. But that's really interesting, isn't it? If, as Paul says in Ephesians, that God, this is in Ephesians 4:6, is in all and through all, why would he not be involved in that deepest connection that we share with someone? So let's remove ourselves from the word sex a moment. If we talk about sexual acts, what we're talking about is connection. We're talking about intimacy. The gift that has been given to us is not a dirty word, but a physical manifestation of connection. A connection between two people. That's why we use phrases like making love. It mentally separates our feelings of urges to feelings of connection. And that is good. But it's also why people who speak about the red light district say it is the least sexy place on earth. Why? Why? It's because it's completely devoid of meaningful connection. You know, we've misrepresented sexuality in our projection of our values as well. If we pride ourselves on waiting for sex before getting married, I have to ask, what are we actually proud of? Is it the fact that it was the right thing to do? Or is it that you've proved an astounding level of self-control in your life? Is that what we are saying is most holy? That the next person or telling the unbeliever that we're more disciplined than them? Like someone who can frequent the gym without slipping up and eating cake? Is that our message about how we relate physically as human beings? Or are we talking about sex as beautifully connected ways of loving God? Could we exchange the word sex for the word covenant, relationship, and connectedness? Wouldn't it be a far more beautiful way of talking about these things? You know, shame is a really big deal around sex. For those of us who maybe have struggled with pornography, for those of us who have looked at someone the wrong way, for those who keep struggling with the same stuff, shame can be like a cancer in your life. We promise ourselves that we're not going to do it again. No, we wonder what's wrong with us. And most of the time we do this stuff alone because we can't talk to other people about it. So how can we find a way to talk about this stuff when people don't talk about this stuff around us? Well, that's where shame sits in, I think. Shame works because that voice in our heads tells us that we're different. We alone have failed, and we alone are thinking thoughts or committing sin around sex that nobody else is doing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that that is rubbish and it's a lie. And the way that we start to get into it is by talking about it amongst ourselves. You see, the scriptures, as we have seen, are full of how we're relational beings. It is not good for people to be lonely, it says. We need to be connected to God and to give to each other. I would argue that sexual sin or bad relationships occur because we try and forge connections in the wrong places or in the wrong way. Ultimately, we went after something because we wanted to connect, but actually, it was a lie. It never delivered. Or maybe we went after something because it would make us feel alive, feel human, feel excited at some level. And I think it's the same thing. We're looking for connection. We want this thing in front of us to light something up in us, but it doesn't. Don't you find it interesting that the healthiest sexual relationships almost model the scriptures about how God talks about us and him? Sexuality is about reaching out for connection. Sex is about relationship. So if I was to say to you that sexual sin at its deepest level is about people feeling disconnected, that might be a way that you've never thought about it before. And maybe that's helpful. But maybe that sentence will make you angry when you think about that person who hurt you. Or it might be helpful. I don't know. But I do hope at least that it means that we can start to frame this part of our lives in a way that removes unhelpful judgment and introduces opportunity to work out where the disconnections or maybe, and even more importantly, it might help us forge new connections. Maybe we can start to examine what it was or what it is that we are really after in our lives. Or maybe we can introduce celebration into our relationship as well. You know, as I grow in my marriage, and I've been married for just over 20 years, I know I don't look it, I would love to be more intimate with Carly, more connected, more open, more like the relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden, because it isn't just about physicality, it's about connection. Just want to give you a few concluding observations. Now, my prayer today is that as we examine this stuff and start to unpack it, that many of us will move from a position of personal shame and start talking about it. For those of us who can't get past the language that we've been indoctrinated with, we can start to use language around connection. And more than all this, that God is in all and through all and reminds you that you've been made in his image. He wants you to thrive, and he only convicts when we are wrong. The rest is up to us to try and keep him front and center and walk with our brothers and sisters towards deeper connections in our relationships, in our marriages, and in our singleness. I think the world, look at what we're talking about this morning, doesn't the world need more of that? I would love it if our community, you know, they could look at us and see a fresh beauty in our discussions around relationships, one where sex and God are not divorced from one another, that actually we celebrate our humanness, and that sex is a gift from God, and the best sex is when we are at our closest in relationship first. But there's another part to this as well. I think we need to model not only to those adults around us that we can talk about this and show that we are not defined in our shame, but I would love for our young people seeing the humanness in all of us with a heart to bring God into the center of these subjects in their discussions. I want our kids to have language to talk about it so they don't go into the future thinking it's just them or that they should be ashamed by themselves or it's just them struggling. And lastly, as we have looked at sex, and thanks for staying with me on this, I think it has a bit of a picture of forever in it as well. You know, when we model sexuality with beauty and passion correctly, it actually points to God. It actually is about God's kingdom on earth. It's a marker, it's a signpost, it's a beacon of God's intimate design. I'm guessing I'm saying it's somehow sex is somehow a celebration of connection. It's almost evangelistic. There is a reason that the book of Revelation speaks about the final thing happening in this world being a wedding celebration, one where Jesus takes his bride, and that's us. A bridegroom takes his bride. Could there be anything more intimate than those images? I ache for the embrace of that day, and I want to model that right here, right now, in all the aspects of my life as well. So maybe some of this stuff has resonated with you this morning. Maybe you want to move from shame to understanding what connections are missing. Maybe you want to make yourself accountable for your thoughts and for your urges. Maybe you want to move from judgment to freedom for those who have hurt you. Maybe those urges have never been a problem for you, but you find yourself judging those who do have them. Maybe you need to start a new path or working out how you can redirect your eyes or thoughts to new healthy connections. Maybe it's 100 things in between all of this. But I know that God is in every area of our lives and he wants to have intimacy and connection, not shame. Because I think that sounds like a healthy sex life. But thanks for being with us today. Jesus, there's so much in your scripture about intimacy and connectedness. And as we look at the world today, we recognize, Father, that the reason that so much goes wrong is because we just don't get this stuff. And so your heart breaks for us. Lord, we want to give ourselves back to you so that we may become more like your Son, more intimate, more connected, inviting you into every area of our lives. Father, I pray for those today who know that they need to do something in this part of their life. Amen.